From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here at High Corbett Field with a special guest, Robbie Medel. I'm going to call him our Arizona baseball expert. Welcome back to the show, Robbie.
Thanks, Lev. Thank you.
We are entering the final weekend here for U of A baseball team, which is squarely on the bubble. We don't know what's going to happen. Robbie had an idea of what might happen a couple weeks ago. I thought things might go in a different direction. That's what we're going to talk about today. What's been happening the last couple weeks and where things might go for the program. Last time we talked, Robbie, it was before that Arizona State game, which was the only game that they've lost in the entire month of May. And I think part of our discussion was, could they make a run? You know, and I was kind of skeptical about it because I had seen too many heartbreaking losses. I had seen too many games that they had just basically given away. What gave you confidence that they could pull off the kind of run that they're on right now? And what gives you confidence that they can finish it with three more wins at Washington State this weekend?
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, players win games at the end of the day. But I think that what gave me the confidence was knowing the coaching staff and knowing that they were going to prepare better than anybody in the country. And that's day in, day out. And that's not just the three paid. That's Mark Wanaka. That's, you know, Cody Raymer and Zach Wilkins. And that's the student managers cutting film all the way down to the bottom. And that's what gave me the confidence that I knew that they could win ball games. The one game on the schedule when we talked last that I saw was iffy was that ASU game that they ended up dropping, but they competed. Then, you know, they sweep at home, they go and sweep on the road, and now they have three games left. And from what I said is, win out, you get in. 46 RPI right now, a lot of bubble teams playing in conference tournaments that I think can get bounced early. Like Florida already got bounced this morning, first round, so that's big time. And it kind of feels like last year. But talking to the coaches, I just talked to Coach Lawn and Mark Wanaka, Chief. They seem a little bit more optimistic than we did last year. Last year was, we have to win the next three games to get in, no matter what. It's the same thing this year, but I feel like it's a little bit more laid back. Maybe they learned from last year the pressure that we had. I'm not sure. I'm not in the team meetings. But I like this team, and it's the coaching staff that really gives me the confidence. Because in 16, that's what really pushed us over the edge, is the preparation from our coaching staff.
Sure. The expectations around here never change, right?
Never, ever.
Jay will always hold everybody to the highest possible standard.
Right.
But you could argue that the expectations for the team kind of did change maybe a month or so ago, when it really didn't look like they were going to make the postseason. And Jay came up with this idea of, let's just frame each of these weekends as its own regional. You know, that's going to be our playoffs. And it seemed like that maybe took some pressure off the team. I mean, listening to Nick Quintana today, he was saying, like, we just come out here and have fun. You know, we've played a little more free and loose. What is the difference as a college baseball player when you sort of are really feeling that pressure, or you're just going out there and having fun?
Yeah, and so to circle back, that's like something he did a couple of years ago too. And coaching at this level, it's really hard. That's why you see a lot of guys in and out. Then you see a lot of guys stick around. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, I think Skip's going to be a guy that sticks around for a long time because he does know what to say to guys to get them playing at their highest level, what their potential is, and reaching it. And I think that just slowing it down and breaking the season down into bits and saying, look, we're in a regional right now. We just need to get out of this regional. And I think this weekend is their super regional weekend for the scenario that he wrote out for them a couple weeks ago. So I think giving them something to play for every single day is what sets them apart. Because we still call them Super Bowls. And making sure that one game is the most important game that you ever play in your life, no matter whether, you know, you're playing Oregon State on a Friday night or, you know, UC Riverside on a Wednesday morning. It doesn't matter. It's still a huge game. And that's something that he does that's super special. And you talk to him all the time. Mm-hmm. Does he seem any different to you?
No.
Than
ever? No, the only thing I would say is that there were a couple times this year where he was more frustrated than I've ever seen
him. Well, he had every right to be, didn't he?
He did, yes. I would say after the ASU game, the Sunday game where they lost 17-16.
Right.
You know, they really should have won the game any number of times, and they gave it away, you know, on an error at the end of the game and couldn't throw strikes and all that. And then there was a loss at home against Grand Canyon where it just didn't seem like the team was engaged and motivated. And that, right. that really disappointed him, I think, on a deep level. Yeah. You know, like errors are going to happen, mistakes are going to happen, but for the team to not have the energy and enthusiasm and to embrace that Super Bowl concept in any given time, he said that hasn't happened very often since he was here. So those two instances, I would say, were a little bit different. For the most part, though, he's been the same. Yeah. He's always optimistic. Yeah, he's always positive. He's always trying to find, you know, motivational buttons to push. Remember last year they implemented the whole thing with the helmet stickers, right? That was a new thing.
I liked it.
Last year where he was just trying to get things going.
Just give offensively. He gives us a reason to do stuff, a reason to play, a reason to get up. Because, you know, you can think it's only 56 games. It's, you know, compared to 140 some at the minor league level, 162 at the big league level. But that 56 games, it's still a grind. It's a long season. And, you know, you practice every day. You got school. You have a social life. You're in college. And he does a really good job of making sure the guys – I don't want to use the word juggle because it doesn't sound like you have it together. But he makes sure that guys can properly, you know, go to school, come out and play baseball, and also have, you know, the college experience that you're supposed to have while you're here. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm just an optimistic alumni, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cover this team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your job. A month ago, they were dead in the water. They were done, right?
Yeah.
And so what have you seen that has turned this team around? Because I can tell you everything I've seen, but I also have a different perspective of it because I kind of know what's going on because I've heard it all.
Yeah. Well, the offense, amazingly enough, has kind of gotten better.
Yeah.
After losing Matthew Dyer, and they had already lost Matt Frazier, who were their two leading hitters. You know, guys like Dooney and Bullard and Bossier have really taken it up a notch. You know, freshmen that maybe you weren't counting on this season. So I think that's one factor. The defense has been better. I wouldn't say it's been great or perfect, but it's been better. It was a really rough stretch there when Cameron first went over to shortstop. I mean, it was hard to watch. You know, it was hard to, you know, remain in that objective reporter role when you see a guy struggling, you know, as much as he was. But I think the biggest thing is that the pitching has been better.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great.
Not even really good, but above average. Starting pitching was
amazing
at Penn State.
Last weekend, yeah.
Amazing at Penn State. They gave up one earned run in 19 in a third innings. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, Randy, you know, with a career high in Ks
and you
on
get
Friday
something,
night.
Yeah, you get something like that happening, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. But as Jay said the other day, like, it only has to be okay with as good as their offense is, you know? Mm-hmm. Their ERA now, I think, as a team is like 6.28. If this team had an ERA of around 4.5 or even 4.75, we wouldn't be having this bubble discussion. They'd be in.
They'd be in.
Already.
Yeah.
So you've seen Randy kind of figure it out. I think personally he was a little bit rusty at the start of the season. You know, he missed almost all of last year.
Came off that
didn't
injury.
Pitch in summer, right? Because he was just working on – he stayed here and went back home and was just kind of working on getting stronger, stuff like that. Quinn Flanagan also – off for basically like 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think it took him a while to really get into a groove. And then Andrew Nardi, I think there were huge expectations on him coming in as, like, you know, a pro guy, right? He's 6'3", left-handed, throws hard, great slider. And I think it was an adjustment for him too. And there's been a lot of ups and downs for all those guys. They've all kind of stabilized now at the end of the year. The other thing is Vince Vannelli's emergence out of the bullpen. You know, giving you that one guy that you can rely on in a high leverage situation on a Friday and bring him back on a Sunday or whatever the case might be. You remember, you know, at the beginning of the 2016 season, that's what Bobby Dalbec was. Bobby was the guy you could bring out of the bullpen to pitch like three innings at the end of a game. And you might be able to bring him back two days later too.
Yeah, we did.
Because he was so durable and was just such a warrior.
Yeah.
Out there. So I think those are the biggest factors. And then one other thing I would cite is just the schedule. I mean, it was murderer's row. When you got to go against Oregon State, Arizona State, UCLA, and Stanford, and they're all on the road, I mean, I have to take a look at it, but I don't know if anyone else in the conference faced all four of those teams on the road.
No, and that's
just the way the ball bounces.
That's every other year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other year. And when I was here with Coach Lopez in 15, you know, we had that tough part of the schedule, and we always knew that every odd year we would have a really tough road schedule. And that's just playing the Pac-12. I've said that plenty of times to you.
Yeah.
What you do playing in the Pac-12, it's why it's such a great conference. Yeah. I want to talk about the bubble. Oh,
I was going to say, the one thing that Jay mentioned about the pitching is getting ahead in the count.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you as a pitcher, what is the difference between a 2-1 count and a 1-2 count?
Well, let's start with 0-0.
Okay.
Throwing a first pitch strike. They threw 66 first pitch strikes this weekend, right?
Okay.
This last weekend against Penn State. On those 66 first pitch strikes, three of them resulted in hits. So you're starting 66 at-bats, right? 63 of them result in a strike, and you're up 0-1 in the count. Only three of them resulted in hits. So that should really tell the pitchers they can be fearless with that first pitch. Just go get it. Just throw it over the plate. It's harder than it sounds.
Yeah,
it's really hard to throw strikes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But 63 of them resulted in a first pitch strike. I don't know how many of those resulted in outs in the at-bats, but I'm pretty sure it's a good number. So pitching ahead is really important. They pitch ahead, they're going to win. And with that offense, the pitchers have all the confidence in the world. When you're out there on your own, you're not really thinking about, okay, I have, you know, at least 5-run cushion because of my offense. You don't think about that while you're out there. It's you and the catcher, and you want to pitch well. I know Coach Lon's doing good things. You know, we're going to see them get better. And that's crazy to say at the end of May, right? That they're going to get better. But I think you let this team get in with this coaching staff, the offense, the potential on the pitching side, really, really scary 2 or 3 seed. And I think, like, just like we said in 16, don't let us get in, because if we get in, it's going to be scary. And I feel the same way about this team.
Yeah.
Don't let them get in, because if they get in, it's going to be scary.
You've played in Pullman?
I've played in Pullman.
What is it like up there at Washington State?
It's wonderful.
You like it?
No, I don't. It's a tough. It's not bad. The scenery's great. I love the Pacific Northwest. I really do, because I love green. It's really green up there. It's pretty. It's just a tough place to get to. You gotta. We're flying to Portland.
Phoenix. Drop us from Phoenix directly into Spokane.
Okay,
so that's Brett Gleason, by the way, the Arizona baseball SID who's sitting in, monitoring our podcast and making sure we don't use any curse words or whatever. But, yeah, usually you fly up to Spokane.
Tough flight.
Drive down to Pullman.
Sometimes you don't even stay in Pullman. We stayed in Moscow.
Yeah.
Idaho. Yeah, Moscow, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of a weird setup. You know, you kind of feel far from the ballpark. No one's going to be there.
Yeah.
No one's going to be there at all. They already did their senior day. So it's a tough place to play. But I think that it's the end of the season. These guys know what they're playing for. There's not going to be any... we're in Pullman. I think it's going to be, everybody's going to be level 10. Everybody's going to be ready to go. And the coaching staff's going to make sure of that.
Yeah, Jay said that he likes playing there at the end of the season because there's a greater chance that the weather is going to be decent.
Yeah, we played there. We had a Thursday practice there 2 years ago, and it was snowing. So, and it's all turf. The mound's turf. So that's something they're going to have to get used to. But it's not that big of a deal. Pitching on a turf mound, it's really not that rough.
Little known fact about the Terry Francona Hitting Center, there's a turf mound in there, right?
We have three of them.
Three of them. Okay.
Three turf mounds.
So they think of everything around here, right?
We have it all wrapped up.
Prepare. Are you concerned at all that the team is going to look at Washington State's record and just think we can just go in there and just roll over them?
Isn't that human nature?
Yeah,
it's human nature.
Yeah, that's what you're fighting against as a coach all the time, right?
Yeah, it's tough, and they're 18 to 22, 23 years old. Of course they're going to look and say, oh, man, they've won four or five Pac-12
games,
games all on Sunday. They're 0-for on Saturday, or Friday and Saturday. I don't know if they know that or not. But it's human nature. And if you look at our record against them, we always drop one.
I was just going to say.
We always drop one.
Each of the last 3 years, Arizona's won 2 out of 3 against Washington State. And just to lay it out for people, if that happens this weekend, Arizona's not going to make the tournament. We can definitive. I really don't think so. Under 500 in the Pac-12, we learned last year. And I was talking to Brian Jeffries
with the same RPI
earlier, before our media availability today, and I asked him that question, and he said that we'll just give the selection committee an excuse to leave Arizona out. It'll make it easy for them to break it down, you know, if they're sort of, you know, splitting hairs here between Arizona and somebody else, they can look at that one thing and say, well, under 500 in the conference, you know, plus some other issues with their resume, they're not going to make it in. I think they need to win all three.
Yeah.
They still might not get in.
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to last year. They're going to be 15 and 14 if they win out. Their RPI is going to be somewhere between 46 and 40.
Yeah,
that's optimistic too. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. And I remember the feeling last year. We took two of three at Oregon. We were sitting at like 47, 46, 47 RPI, thinking, all right, here's what's going to happen to get in. We're watching these bubble teams lose their conference tournaments. These top teams losing their conference tournaments to teams with like a 200 RPI. And that's, you know, and that's something you got to look out for this week. You got to look for Duke, how they do in the ACC tournament. Florida State. Florida already lost, like I said, UCF.
And plus the smaller conferences, right? Like
Missouri Valley.
Like the Missouri Valley, like Dallas Baptist, I think, is from your neck of the woods.
They're like 20-something.
Really good. They're going to get in no matter what.
But Illinois State's like a mid to high 30s. There's another – Indiana State is like a mid to high 30 RPI team. And then in the AAC, you've got Eastern Carolina. They're gonna host. They're going to be a national seed. UConn is like a high 20. So, and Houston, who we beat earlier in the year, lost to UConn in the first round of the AAC tournament. So you look at that, you kind of wanted Houston to win that one to say, you know, they advanced in the tournament. We beat them 2-3. So
there's a lot of stuff that's bubbling.
And I wish college baseball was on a bigger platform, because it's good drama.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really good drama. But, you know, unless you live in the Southeast, you know, who really
Texas,
or in your particular town like Tucson, we have a great
following. Corvallis.
Corvallis, great following.
Yeah.
But it's good drama, and I'm really excited to watch it all. Like, I'm going to go home and watch baseball all week, and I'm really excited about that. And, so there's a lot of good baseball, a lot of good teams to watch. But I think, you know, you sweep, you get in. Where are they going to go? Tech, maybe. Maybe A&M.
Maybe Vegas.
Maybe Vegas.
If Santa Barbara is a host and they buy into that whole concept. I think the deal with Santa Barbara is that they don't have lights at their stadium.
Yeah, so they would have –
So when I covered USC in a regional in 2015, UC Santa Barbara was the host in Lake Elsinore, which is near San Diego.
Really?
Which, if anyone knows the geography of California, is nowhere near Santa Barbara. No. That's like a 3.5-hour drive without traffic. A couple more things I want to ask you about real quick.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens this weekend, we both agree and think that they're going to be really good in 2020.
They're going to be great in 2020. Most of the offense is going to come back. Like, we're going to lose the big names, Cannon and Quintana. Dyer's a question mark. But they're going to be great, and they're going to pitch well next year. They're going to get a lot of guys coming back, and that's a distraction.
Just go ahead.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of guys coming back, a lot of big names coming back on the pitching staff, and like I said, you can't think negatively on the coaching staff, because at the end of the day, it is a process, and they're going to work hard this offseason. They're going to get everybody in, and they're going to be great in 2020. How great they're going to be is on them. And you can't really put a cap on it.
I see a lot of freshmen playing this year really well who are going to be sophomores next year. And if those guys take a jump in their play, which it's sort of hard to imagine in the case of Austin Wells, for example, or Dayton Dooney as well as they're doing, but we've seen guys get better, right? I mean, like Nick Quintana is a better player now than when he was a freshman.
Same thing.
JJ Matijevic is another example. By the way, there's a charity home run hitting contest that's going on here at High Corbett, which is the distraction that was created earlier. The last thing I want to ask you about, Robbie, is your professional baseball career is not over. Tell us about what's going on with you.
It's weird to call it professional, but I guess it is.
Yeah. Are you being paid to play baseball?
I'm being paid to play baseball.
Then it is professional,
it's independent league baseball. I'm going to be playing for the Tucson Saguaros.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure our home field will be Cherry Field. Spring training starts Wednesday, which is tomorrow. First spring training game Saturday, and then we get going next Thursday, I believe, for our first home game. I was working in a warehouse, and they gave me a call, and were like, hey, do you want to try this? And I said, sure. So I'm excited. It's going to be weird. I threw a bullpen here today. My velo is not where I want it to be yet, but it will be there. And but I was throwing strikes, Lev.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that I've always been able to do.
So, you've never been a high-velocity type guy anyway, right? You kind of rely on guile and changing speeds.
Yeah, just...
What's your assortment of pitches? What are we throwing here?
Fastball, changeup, an occasional curveball and splitter, but just living off the fastball and changeup and sinking it in there and having fun.
Have you ever tried the cutter?
No. Not with my arm slot.
No?
Not with my arm slot. Mm. But just to wrap up on this Arizona team.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want the season to end without Quintana and Cannon playing big games.
Yeah.
I don't want the season to end without Randy pitching in one more humongous game, which Friday night will be a huge game. Thursday night, excuse me.
It sure will.
But I think that these guys deserve to play in big games, especially at the age they are now. I mean, they did it as freshmen, but it was totally different. Totally different. So I think they deserve to play in big games. I think they would go off. I think this offense would go off, and the country would fall in love with this baseball team.
Yeah, I think that Arizona is a team that you don't want to face.
No.
Right now, the way they're swinging the bats. I mean, they can just wear you out with their approach to the plate, the pitches that they take, right? I mean, they go deep into counts. There were games this year where they were up like 10 runs, and it's the eighth inning. And they're still taking walks.
Yeah, and that's all credit to...
And that just has to drive you nuts.
Yeah, that's all credit to Mark Wonaka.
Yeah.
All credit to Chief right there. And they're a tough team to pitch against. I would know because I do it in inner squads.
Yeah.
And it's a tough offense to play against. And like I said, if they get in, they're going to be scary. Just if they get in, you do not want to face that Arizona baseball team. So...
All right, well, hey, thank you, Robbie, for sitting in with us again here on the Wildcast podcast.
Anytime.
For those of you who might be listening for the first time, you can download and subscribe to the Wildcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again to Robbie. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. Please check out my work and our work as a team at Tucson.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. At Michael J. Lev. Robbie, what's your Twitter handle?
At Medel Rob, MedelRob.
Yes, and I can guarantee you that his Twitter is more entertaining than mine. All right, thank you, Robbie.
Yep.
Good luck to the Wildcats this weekend. Hopefully we'll have some NCAA tournament baseball to talk about next week.
Absolutely.